2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19. This is the word of God. All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word clearly witnessed to us Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God, what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, let us meet your Son in your word, and let us have fellowship with him. And Father, as we hear your word, we pray that by your grace, because you grant us an ear to hear, that our faith will grow. Let us receive your word with faith so that it would benefit us, will bring eternal benefit to your people. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace, that your word will be preached correctly, and all of your people who will hear your word and understand and believe and obey. Let us bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, from chapter 12, verse 19, which we read today, all the way to chapter 13, verse 10 is one unit, and we'll treat it as such, but there's so much thing I want to say in this one verse, verse 19. And because we're just dealing with verse 19, it might be actually a little bit shorter than usual, but no guarantee. Verse 19, all this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. From chapter 2, the Apostle Paul has been comparing and contrasting himself with the false teachers, comparing and contrasting his ministry with the ministry of the false teachers, comparing and contrasting his teaching with the teachings of the false teachers. And by doing that, Paul has been defending his apostolic authority. And by doing that, Paul has been defending the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But for the people who are following the false teachers, the arguments by Paul might be interpreted as Paul just defending himself. That in self-interest, Paul is doing what he is doing. Paul is just telling them that he is better than others. Now, we know that that is not true, but there will be, and there were, many people who were thinking that way. Now here, Paul says, all this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Many translations, depending upon what translation you might have, some translation will have this in a question form. All this time, you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you, don't you? It will be in some form of question. And answer to that question, Paul says, no, actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking. We are not saying what we are saying, Paul saying, just to convince you to come to our side. just to convince you to believe and approve us. Paul knows and believes that the ultimate judge of all is God and God alone. And Paul, everything that he does, wherever he is or what he is doing, he knows that it is in the sight of God. He's been saying this, all this. Chapter 2, verse 17, he said, "For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." Chapter 4, verse 2, Paul said, "But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Chapter 7, verse 12, Paul said, "So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the offender, nor for the sake of the one offended, but that your earnestness on our behalf might be made known to you in the sight of God." Paul understands that his life is a life in the sight of God. And Paul is not interested in pleasing people or doing things to improve his reputation to others. He has already said this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3-4, he says, "But to me," Paul says, "it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you. Your judgment of me is just a very small thing." Now, Paul is not being arrogant here, but what he's emphasizing is that for him, what is important is how God sees him, not how man sees him. So he says, "But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord, is Jesus Christ." And he also said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. As you can see, this is complete opposite of the false teachers. All those who want the worldly success must do things to please people. Period. You cannot be successful in this world unless people will help you success. So their focus is always about pleasing men. That's why when you do a business, you have a motto that says something like, "Customers are kings." You are there to please customers so that they could come back and make your business successful. John chapter 12, verse 43, "For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God." It's all about being popular, being accepted by this world. But Paul is not like this. Because living like that is to live according to sight, not by faith. See, God is not seen. He's invisible. Thus, we tend to forget that we live our lives in the sight of God. Brothers and sisters, what is hidden in the sight of the Lord? Do you know that wherever you are and whatever you do, all is in the sight of the Lord? You see, we act differently depending upon whether other people see us or not. When you believe you're alone, you will act differently than when you believe people are watching you. This difference is also seen in what and how we speak also. Not just what we do, but even how we speak and what we speak. However, we often forget that our God is omnipresent. Omnipresent God. He is everywhere. And He sees all things in all times. And we tend to forget that. Because just like if you know that someone is watching you, you will act differently. If you're mindful of God is watching you, that faith will change how you behave and how or what you say. See, hypocrisy just does not work in the sight of God. We cannot pretend in the sight of God. When we say sight of God, in the presence of God, in front of His face, literally, that's what it means. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 to 24. Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not feel the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? Can any of us hide from God? Go to Psalm 139. It's a wonderful psalm. Make it a habit of reading psalm time to time. It's just wonderful. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God knows us better than we know ourselves. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, below, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inner parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depth of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them, and goes on and on. We live and this always in the sight of the Lord, in His presence. And let me ask a question to you and to me. Knowing this, even Psalmist says this knowledge is too wonderful. But knowing this, does this make you happy? Or does this trouble you? Make you uneasy that God knows everything and sees everything that you do? For psalmist, this is a wonderful thing that He is always with me. For sinners, this is terrible news. What? God sees all things? The sinners hate to be in the sight of God. Actually, for sinners, being in the sight of God is terrifying. It is for them the place of terrible judgment of God. And we see this from the very beginning. Adam and Eve, as soon as they have sinned, the first thing they wanted to do was to hide from God. Being in the sight of God is not a happy thing for the sinners, because ultimately it is the place of the eternal judgment of God. Job chapter 9, verse 2b, but how can a man be in the right before God? Who is able to stand before God? But when we read Paul's letters, it's not just 2 Corinthians, it's not just in this verse that we're looking at. We see that Paul is pretty bold in the sight of the Lord, in the presence of God. You think you will be able to say like Paul? I wasn't trying to defend myself to you, but actually, I was speaking all this in the sight of my God. See how bold that statement is? Can I say it like that? Whatever I do it in the sight of God. There's no fear in Paul. What is going on? Because if I or you talk about in the sight of God, it's terrifying. What makes Paul so bold as he stands in the sight of God? It's not because he is any better than us. Oh, I'm sure he is better than us. But it's not because of that, because even as better than us, he is a sinner who still deserves to go to hell forever and ever. He understands that the only thing that he truly deserves is God's eternal punishment. And yet, Paul is pretty bold in the sight of God. What gives him this confidence that as he stands in the sight of God? Brothers and sisters, the answer to that question is what the gospel is all about. You must understand this. He says, actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ. Yes, he stands in the sight of God, but also in Christ. In the sight of God, in Christ. The Apostle Paul knows how filthy sinner he is. And he also knows that only thing he truly deserves from God is his eternal judgment of hell. But Paul is a believer. He lives by faith, faith in Jesus Christ. He believes that Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior and God, bore his sins and died upon that cross. He also believes that Jesus Christ has also lived a perfect righteous life for him. The Apostle Paul believes that his sins have been completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that he now possesses the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thus, listen to what he says, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even as he stands in the sight of God, but because he is in Christ, he knows there is no condemnation anymore. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 verse 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And Paul believes when Jesus says that. Even as he knows how sinful he is and how only thing he deserves is the eternal judgment of God, but he also knows what Jesus has done for him, what he has accomplished for him. And in Christ, he knows that there is no more condemnation. He has peace with God in Christ. That he will not stand the judgment because he understands and knows and believes that Jesus was judged instead of him. This is the gospel, brothers and sisters. Paul stands in the sight of God with boldness in Christ and only in Christ. Because if it is not Jesus Christ, then we all should be terrified as we stand before the sight of God. See, this is the thing. And I want you to really understand this right here. This is very important. See, as he lives his life, Paul knows and he believes what kind of judgment God has rendered concerning him in Christ. Paul knows that God has already rendered the judgment concerning Paul in Christ. God calls righteous, calls Paul righteous. That's God's judgment concerning Paul in Christ. Paul is righteous. Thus, Paul is bold even as he stands in the sight of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you know that God has already called you righteous in his sight? Do you know this? Oh, is that something you hear in this church and it just, I don't know how that is connect, you know. Do you know it? That even now as you come to God in worship, in Christ, God receives you as righteous people in his sight. You know what believing this do to you? I know what it does to me. I could join Paul standing with boldness in the sight of God. Let me ask you this question. How perfect do you think God's justification of you? When he justifies you, when he calls you righteous, how righteous do you think you are in the sight of God? Just pretty righteous? Almost righteous? Maybe righteous? 99% righteous? What is your understanding? What is your belief? How righteous are you in the sight of God in Christ? You know, salvation that our Lord accomplishes is perfect salvation. And through what he has done, you are righteous, perfectly righteous in the sight of God. Not that you are actually righteous, but in the sight of God, that is how God considers you, because you are in Christ, who did all these things for you perfectly, and who paid perfectly, completely your sins. Now, this is very important, brothers and sisters, because this is what the gospel is all about. This faith drives you out, drives in you out the fear. It gives you peace and joy. Unless you know this, when Bible speaks of joy, you have no idea what that is. Learn from Paul. Because God is using Paul in his revelation. Otherwise, I will never tell you to be like someone else other than Christ. But in the Bible, Paul is being used as part of the revelation of God. And listen to what Paul says and some other writers here. Listen. Ephesians 3:12. In whom, Jesus, we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Faith in Jesus Christ. We have, what do we have? Boldness and confident access to our God in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. When it's about facing God, we have complete confidence. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And verse 15, right previous that verse. Since we have great high priest, Jesus Christ, therefore, let us draw near to God with confidence. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. We have confidence to enter the holy of holies because our sins are washed with the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 4 verse 17a, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. That judgment has already begun. You know what God's judgment is for you? You are righteous because you are in Christ. This is the only way that you are able to be righteous in the sight of God. No matter how hard you try, nothing will work. Only that you are in Christ, meaning that you believe what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for you. And all these verses, in whom we have boldness and confidence, access through faith in Him, and isn't that good news? How can words like boldness and confidence be used as we stand before God? How can we talk about boldness and confidence as we stand before God? And that is the gospel. That we are able to use these words. That we are actually confident, even as we approach God. Only in Christ. Now, this is not about being arrogant or boastful. Because the people who are truly able to stand before God with boldness and confidence are those who also repent of their sins. But they clearly believe that they are in Christ. Thus, they clearly know their position, their standing, their reality in the sight of God. Do you remember how we said that being in the sight of God was a terrifying thing for a sinner? But for Christians who are in Christ, it is a place of delight and joy. Psalm 42 verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When will I be able to stand before God face to face? He actually desires it. It's no longer a terrifying place for people who have been saved. It drives away the fear and brings confidence and boldness. Not because we are whatever, anything, but because we know that what Jesus has done for us in our places, what he did is perfect. And God is perfectly pleased with what he has done for you and for me. This is where we want to be now, in the sight of God. This is what we desire to be, in the sight of God. Because in the sight of God, even though I'm not perfect, even though I sin, I'm still in the sight of God, perfect, because of Christ. That is why once you understand this gospel, it will drive you to repentance. This is the test. Knowing all this, does it drive you to repentance, to repent of your sins? See, arrogance and boasting is sin. But being bold and having confidence because of Christ and because of your belief that you are in Christ is to witness the gospel itself. You know, I don't want you to be arrogant or boastful, but being confident in the sight of God, not because you think you are any good, but because of Christ and Christ alone, because your faith that you are in Christ, being confident and being bold is to witness the gospel. And you are called to do that. Brothers and sisters, let's face it, we live a lousy life when it comes to how much we sin and how much we should not do what we ought to do. And yet, because of Christ. Now, see, this kind of truth, I mean, this kind of truth, it didn't come out right. This truth, in some strange reason, sinners don't accept. Because it just doesn't even make sense to them. Because what they really want is that God recognizes you and your good doings, and because of what you have done, that God would actually give you prize. So that you could boast about what you have done. Isn't that strange, brothers and sisters? This news, this good news, which is really good news to us, but this is not good news to the world. They don't like it. Because if we accept this news, if we accept this gospel, then they have to admit they didn't do anything. They have to admit the only thing they truly deserve is eternal hell. No matter how much they tried, no matter how much they gave their best, They still deserve eternal hell. They have to admit all this, and they just don't like that. They hate it, in fact. But their understanding will lead them to eternal damnation. Because the Bible clearly says there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who does good, not even one. So brothers and sisters, hear the good news and be happy. I don't know, is that the way I say things, or is that just because my face is too ugly? I don't see your face doesn't show me that you're happy. Well, then don't look at my face and just hear and be happy. Or hear the good news. We live in the sight of God in Christ. Thus, we are full of joy. And as such, we do not care about our reputation in this world. Because like Paul, it is all about how God judges me, how God sees me. I don't care what other people say about me. Seriously. Because if we start thinking about what other people say, then this is not it. Then this is ridiculous. This is embarrassing. This whole church is embarrassing. But that is not what we do. Because we know, we believe, we are living in the sight of the Lord. See, we do not care what other people think of us, but now in Christ, we live for them. Understand? We don't care what they say, but our purpose now is to live for them. That is why Paul ends this 19th verse, "And all for your upbuilding, beloved." I do all this for your upbuilding. So he speaks the truth. It might not be popular, but he speaks the truth. Because you must live for all those people now. And what they need is the truth. Oh, it's not. I mean, really. What you need is truth, not my smile or my loving, you know, with loving voice, you know, kind of telling you everything will be okay. It's nothing. The truth will set you free. You want, and you should demand, truth from me more than anything else. Because that is what you need. No matter how much people insult us, and slander us, and persecute us, in the sight of God and in Christ, we do all things for the upbuilding of God's church. Brothers and sisters, we have complete and eternal freedom in Christ. And remember, brothers and sisters, we live in the sight of God. But we live with joy because we are in Christ. If you don't get anything I teach you, please just get this, that in Christ, God has already rendered his judgment concerning you. He called you righteous in his sight. And with that understanding and with that belief, with that faith, you live with joy. And by God's grace, once you believe that and trust that, God will work with that faith and will make you more and more like Christ. And I promise you that somehow by God's grace, as you trust Christ, you hold on to Jesus Christ, that you will sin less and less. And one day, you will sin no more. That's the promise. Not from me, but from God. And you know why? You know why one day I have to stop sinning? I will stop sin? You know one day why that I'm going to be living that sinless life in heaven? You know why? We could explain this in so many ways, but in terms of what we're saying today, you know why? Because God's rendering His judgment right now that even though I sin like crazy, He calls me righteous. And that judgment of God has to be proved correct. And it will be. When that day comes, no one will question. How? No one will say to God, how can you call Him righteous? Look at Him. How can you do that? That day He will show them. Look at Him. Look at how righteous He is. But even now in Christ, I'm righteous in the sight of God. Since we're dealing with one verse, it's kind of short. Not that short, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We are so blessed. And it's incredible truth. It's so hard to believe that Your judgment that You have rendered concerning us who are in Christ is that we are righteous in Your sight. It is so hard to believe when we see ourselves, how we are and what kind of life we live. But Father, we thank You that when we do see not just ourselves, but when we see what Jesus has done and who He is and what He has done, then it's not so incredible anymore. It is believable. Because what Your Son does, because He is God, is perfect. The salvation that He accomplishes, of course, is perfect. And the recipient of that salvation, all of Your people who are in Christ, we do possess perfect salvation. That You save us from sin and You make us. First called us righteous in Your sight, and later in heaven we will be righteous. Completely, thoroughly, perfectly. But we thank You that even now, even as we sin, we are still righteous in Your sight because we are in Christ. Let us live with this faith and let us be joyous now and forever. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.